Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday, the last day of the league meetings, wrapping up there with Mark Murphy being available to the local reporters after hearing from Matt LaFleur early this morning at the coach's breakfast. And LaFleur had some interesting things to say. I don't think we saw any big breaking news out of LaFleur's availability, but good to get his thoughts on a few things, especially after free agency. Haven't heard from the head man since the end of the season, so good to get his thoughts on various things, including trying to get Tucker Kraft a little bit more involved on offense. I love the idea of LaFleur and his offensive staff trying to find new ways and maybe untapped ways of getting Tucker Kraft the football in his hands. There's no doubt that with Watson being out for as long as he's going to be this season, you definitely need more punch from a lot more guys on the offensive side of the ball. Kraft could absolutely provide something there. And also what I found interesting was in LaFleur's one-on-one with Larry McCarron, Rock asked him about Luke Musgrave, and LaFleur indicated that Musgrave has been in the facility this offseason and looks stronger, faster, etc. Now, that, you know, most likely a touch, if not a lot, of coach speak there, but love the idea of the untapped potential there. And both of these tight ends could certainly help an offense that kind of stubbed its toe down the stretch last year. And spending this offseason and, you know, offseason program in particular, devising new ways to get the ball in their hands and attack defenses that gave the Packers trouble last year, particularly teams that like to play a lot of man. I think that's an area where the Packers could take advantage. And I'm excited to see what LaFleur and company cook up, so to speak. Speaking of the offseason program, that is another thing that LaFleur opined about regarding the late start to the offseason program because of the fact that the draft is in Green Bay. Matt and his guys can't basically get in the building. There's going to be way too much going on. The NFL essentially taking it over for that week in April. So they will still be holding the start of the offseason program virtually, much like they did during the COVID year. So everything will be done over Zoom. They'll still have meetings, etc. But they won't be in the building until the week after the draft. So some urgency going to be needed when they hit the ground running there at 1265 Lombardi. A few other things Matt kind of touched on and was asked about. Taking a deep dive, his words, into the drops, of which there were plenty. We all saw the guys kind of take turns throughout last season, dropping the ball at, well, a lot of the times at the most inopportune time, third and fourth downs. You know, he didn't want to get too much into the detail of it, but he did indicate that he thought it was a focus issue, not an effort or, you know, physical issue, which, yeah, there's probably something to that. I talked a lot about it last year during the kind of backstretch of the season. I do think part of it, not all of it, this most of it is on the players, but I do think some of it is down to Matt LaFleur being a little bit tightly wound and guys maybe pressing a little bit too much as a reflection of their coach. You know, teams are reflective of the head coach and take on the personality of the head man. And I do think, not saying it needs to be, hey, swinging, hey, don't worry about it, kid, kind of vibe at 1265. But I do think, you know, these guys are there because they are the best of the best and they're professionals. And yeah, they absolutely need to cut out the drops. They need to focus. It is ultimately on the players. But I do think the environment you come to work into every single day plays a role. I really believe that. One encouraging thing that Matt brought up or was asked about was Jordan Love and his knee not having to have any kind of, you know, procedures done to the knee this offseason, able to just do the work necessary. That's encouraging. We all saw how it really hampered him last year, even after coming back and playing on it for a good long while, the back end of the season, never really looked right, certainly never looked like his old self, his ability to escape the pocket, make things happen when facing pressure and things like that. Good to hear that the knee sounds like it's right and he hasn't needed extra surgery or anything like that. That's excellent. And of course, the one kind of hot topic, hot button topic, I guess you'd say, coming out of Matt's time with the media today is his confirmation that Jordan Morgan is going to be competing with Rashid Walker at left tackle. And I think this is smart. I'm not surprised by this development. They drafted him as a tackle. They talked all last offseason about him being a tackle prior to inserting him at right guard when we got to training camp. I am fascinated to see how that plays out. I think it's a good thing. I think, as Matt said, that competition will get the best out of both of those guys. And look, if Jordan Morgan ends up winning the left tackle spot, you have Rashid Walker and his final year of his deal as your swing tackle, and his ability to step in, having played a ton of football for you, is, I'm not going to say completely, lock solid, like irreplaceable, or I know some people are pining for the idea of trading him if he loses out on this gig, which is a possibility. But man, I've watched way too much Packers football in my time on this earth where one injury up front makes everything fall apart. And with somebody like Rashid Walker or Jordan Morgan as your swing tackle, as your guy on the bench, the ability to step in and play at a high level and not have to change everything on offense, man, that is worth a whole hell of a lot. So I love the idea of these guys kind of pushing each other throughout training camp. I'm excited to get to camp to watch them compete. I think this is a very good thing for the Packers. Those are the kind of major notes from LaFleur's time. I'm sure you guys will have questions or comments in regards to the headlines that got made today or didn't get made today, including the tush push. My God, seems like all the NFL world is talking about is the tush push. And unfortunately, the Packers proposal has been tabled to May when the NFL will meet once again in Minneapolis. More discussion is necessary. It sounds like there's some, maybe not entrenched sides here, but certainly feels like there's one side that is very much pushing for it to be eliminated, the play, and another side that is very much in the camp of this is a, perfect use of personnel and scheme, and if you don't like it, try to stop it. I've talked about it already, so I'm not going to belabor the point, but I do find it interesting that the NFL is now suddenly trying to get in front of a, quote, potential catastrophic injury in the future. No, there's no data to say that this play has caused issues as far as player health or what have you, but someday someone could get hurt. Yeah, someone could get hurt because they're playing football. I mean, at some point, I don't know where you draw the line of trying to completely neuter the sport that is a violent game at its core. And I'm all for making it as safe as possible, but at some point, these guys are professionals who signed up for a particular sport. And I get the complaints that it looks like a rugby scrum and it doesn't look like a football play. Can have those arguments. I'm not in agreement, but you can have those arguments. But this kind of framing of we're just trying to protect the inevitable catastrophic injury, well, they could legit suffer a catastrophic injury on almost any single play on a football field. So, yeah, that's, I'm an old man yelling in a cloud here, but that's how I view it. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Everybody lining up, chatting, tearing it up. Guitar Ted is here. Benarock, how you doing? Heeb Sheboygan, one of my favorite handles. Before I get to your questions and comments, a reminder, everybody, tomorrow, April 2nd, the Cheesehead TV draft guide will be on sale. Do it, folks. Get your draft guide. It will be live to purchase on the Cheesehead TV Patreon page. Now, you do not have to be a Cheesehead TV Patreon member. You don't have to be a member already. You will have to sign up for a Patreon account to download it, to buy it. But that doesn't mean you have to become a paid member of the Cheesehead TV Patreon. Although we would appreciate that support, you will have to go to the Patreon page to purchase it. That said, dropping tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tons of great stuff, amazing content. I say it every year. It's the greatest thing we do each and every season because I am the least involved. So you know me. I am not a draft guy. Folks working on this thing, spearheaded by Al, who does amazing work with the draft guide each and every year. Make sure you get on it. Dropping tomorrow. Good times. You can look like the smartest person in the room when the Packers are on the clock because you will have the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Speaking of the draft, don't forget, night before the draft, come hang out. Corey, myself, some special Packers guests, Wednesday, April 23rd from 8 to 11 at Stage 1 in downtown Green Bay. Care the G will be on special. We'll be giving some stuff away, Cheesehead TV style. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope to see you there. Hope you're in town. And if you're not in town, hope you'll check out the live draft stream on Thursday and Friday night. All right, let's get to your comments, questions, and what have you. Starting with Jason. How are you, man? I agree about our tight ends. I think we already have our number one receiver on the roster, and his name is Tucker Kraft. I mean, you talk about number one, two, etc. Know how I feel about that. I don't really care what you call them, how you classify them, but certainly I love the idea of Tucker Kraft being an integral part of the offense and perhaps his section on the play sheet expanding and being a lot more top of mind on game days for Matt LaFleur. And the idea of designing plays and game planning all week for a specific opponent about how you can utilize Tucker Kraft to try and take advantage of some of these things, I am all in on it. I think that is a very smart way to go about it. Mike Witt, how are you, man? ER number two checking in. Are you a number two? I can't remember. I know, obviously, Soder is number one. I felt like Ryan Willey was number two. Maybe you were number three, but maybe you are. Maybe you jumped up to number two. Congratulations, by the way. 3 weeks and I will be in Green Bay. Been a bucket list for a long time to see a draft live. Can't wait. I'm going to go crazy if we draft my draft crush. Jaden Higgins. Go, Pack, go. Higgins is one of my draft crushes as well. I really hope they pull the trigger there in the second round. And, dude, awesome that you're going to be there. Hope you'll be at the meetup on Wednesday night. Hope to see you, Mike Witt. JP, thank you for the super chat. The new OT rule is so dumb. Both teams can score a touchdown, and then a team can just kick a field goal to win. Exactly what people used to complain about. It's, going to, more than that, it's going to lead to a lot more ties. That's what I think. 10 minutes only, and both teams have to possess the football. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think that, it'll ever be right. It'll never be what it should be, which is sudden death, which was perfect. This idea of fairness and everyone has to have a turn and all that nonsense, win the game in regulation. I'm an old man. I'm a traditionalist. I just don't understand the need to constantly be tweaking this overtime stuff. I think it's ridiculous. Brandy, thank you for the super chat. Good has addressed all the positions needed to win games. Sometimes it works out. That's football, folks. Interesting you say that, Brandy, because he certainly has invested in certain areas more than others. I know a lot of people have kind of picked apart his comment from Monday about we have everything we need when it comes to the pass rush. That is where the lens will be focused this season, right? I mean, obviously, dependent on what happens in the draft, that will be another component. But I do think I'm with you. I think they've got the talent on hand to win a boatload of games. They have to be a hell of a lot more consistent. And as Brian said at the end of the year, show a lot more urgency as a group and really need to control the football game on both sides of the ball in important situations. They must improve situationally. That is, of anything you could point to, whether that's 4-minute offense, whether that's red zone, whether that's end of half, their situational ball has to improve and has to be way more consistent to control these games, and especially the important games. Of course, it's much easier to do those things when you don't fall behind 28-0 right out of the gate, but that's another conversation. Mike Witt, how are you, man? Would love to go to meet up Wednesday night of draft week, but unfortunately I am working. Going to be in Green Bay Thursday through Sunday. Maybe I will see you, Corey, and maybe Cigarette Guy in town. Yes, Cigarette Guy. He walks among us somewhere out there. Although we haven't seen him since that one family night, but maybe if we're lucky, we'll run into him at the draft. Lil Mick, Dundee, that's a bit rich, man. Hope we get Higgins. I wouldn't mind if they got him at 23. I love the player. 23 feels a bit rich considering what will most likely be on offer at that time as far as possible edge rushers and defensive tackles. But, the old saying, if you like your guy, make sure you get your guy. You know, that doesn't matter where or how you get him. If you're absolutely sold on him, in love with him, etc., pull the trigger. And maybe that's what they do. I'd be surprised if it was at 23, but I do love Jaden Higgins, no doubt. Brian Price, what a great super chat. 20 years from now, in a bar, someone is going to say, Tucker Kraft, and dudes will be like, hell yeah. Oh, it's funny because it's true. It is kind of great to just kind of sit around with people and just hash out like old football or old Packers names, right? Be like, oh man, I loved watching him play. Remember that time he XYZ'd? So good. Greg Brockmiller, thanks for the super chat, man. On the overtime rule, what happens if a team uses all 10 minutes on their scoring drive? Does the other team go into extra time on their drive? No, that was a specific carve out that if you are able to take all 10 minutes, then the other team doesn't get to possess the ball. I think it's hilarious just thinking about someone or a team trying to use all 10 minutes on a single scoring drive. I mean, it's possible. We've certainly seen elongated scoring drives, but there's some risk there. If you take all those 10 minutes, you better score or else, you know, you got the tie. But we shall see. Joe, how are you, man? Love sacked just 14 times in 2024. Was that great protection or Love getting rid of the ball to avoid contact due to injuries or something else? I think a large part of that is down to Jordan Love. Yes, the Packers had a superb pass-blocking offensive line. Every metric and the tape backs that up. Now, certainly, there were games and situations where they did not rise to the level necessary, were a bit inconsistent given the circumstances, etc. But on balance, through all the games, through, you know, down in and down out, they were an excellent pass-protecting group. Now, that said, you're still going to get got at times. You're still going to have pressure in your face as a quarterback. Jordan did a phenomenal job of getting rid of the football. Now, yes, sometimes he put the ball in harm's way or made some ill-advised throws, but a big chunk of that was just him having really good sack avoidance as a quarterback. And, you know, I know my buddies, Sam, and the guys over at PFF have talked a long time about sacks being a quarterback stat, you know, not strictly, but quarterbacks certainly have a much bigger component to play than the box score would indicate or tell you, or commentators would let you have, would have, you know. Quarterbacks can play a large role in the number of sacks they take. You don't have to look much further than Caleb Williams last year. Now, he was a big component in a good many of his sacks. And Jordan, for the faults about interceptions, which are certainly valid, he still did an excellent job making sure that he did not take sacks. Sometimes it's frustrating when you have to throw the ball away or you have a, you know, incompletion because you can't get a good throw off. It's at the receiver's legs or whatever. But man, he did not take sacks. And that was a large part due to Jordan. Of course, not all. Offensive line gets credit as well. But that is an area of the game last year that Jordan excelled at. No question about it. Jason, thanks again, man. Will Cheesehead TV have current or former Packers dropping in during the draft broadcast? Any teasers for us? You know, over the years, we've kind of gotten away from it a little bit simply because, you know, we've asked a lot of the same guys back over and over. And a lot of these guys now have their own social components or teams and what have you. And, you know, you talk to a lot of the young guys now and their agents are asking for appearance fees. Man, back in the day, it was just me asking Bakhtiari, hey, you want to come hang out, or Kenny Clark or what have you. And those guys are still down, but it just feels like, you know, at this point, we've had them on year after year after year. There's been a big shift as far as the players and their relationship with the media and social, what have you. So the last few years, we haven't done a ton of it. I still think we'll have a couple of people stopping by during the live stream on Thursday night. So make sure you check it out. But we probably won't be having the cavalcade of stars as we like we used to. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. Hot take. We should have kept Rizin after the 96 team. He was just coming into his own, and Brooks was coming off a brutal knee injury. Thoughts? I mean, the Rizin thing was always a Ronan situation, you know? They brought him in because they were desperate. They were absolutely decimated with injury. And yeah, the Brooks thing was unfortunate, but it was never like he was a core part of the team. Yes, he had some very iconic plays down the stretch there. It is kind of funny, though. People forget him. It's not like he had monster contributions prior to the Super Bowl. He is forever in Packers lore because of a monster opening touchdown, of course. But he helped when needed, and they won a championship because of it. But he was never a core part of the program, and I was never surprised that, you know, Wolf moved on. Would have had been nice to have him back? Yeah, probably, but I understand why they did what they did. Nags, I'm late. Do I have your pardon? Yeah, of course, Tulio. P.S. Lovely new hat. Thanks. Random Packer, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers will never be a random Packer. Absolutely not. Just impossible. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, don't forget happy hour at the top of the hour. I'll see you there. The information is on your respective pages. For the rest of you, thanks so much. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.